Now let's go forward with this. I know nothing whatsoever about you.
Okay.
So let's start right from the beginning. Tell me your name.
I am Aileen Stevens. I'm the director of rehabilitation. I have been with the department for over 20 years. My background really is that of a probation officer, just prior to my being put into the slot of director of rehabilitation.
So when did you become director of rehabilitation?
August of last year, that's 2000.
Were you working as a probation officer?
A senior probation officer, chief probation officer with responsibility for the parish of Hanover.
So could you describe first from the point of view of a probation officer how this release program has worked? That is, what is the job of the probation officer and how does that fit into the overall picture?
Okay. As a probation officer, you are primarily charged with the responsibility to rehabilitate persons who you take responsibility for, persons who have been put into your care, primarily through the courts. As a probation officer, your clientele comprises primarily two sets of persons, voluntary clients. Those are the persons who, on their own volition, come to you seeking help and are willing to be guided by your professional directives. The other clientele comprises of persons who have been sent to you, mandated to you by the courts, and these are primarily offenders. Composition of the clientele as a probation officer, your clientele would be juveniles and adults. Your work as a probation officer will mean supervising those in your care, investigating matters as directed by the courts, being a court officer. You'll have to be attending courts, preparing reports as directed by the judge. And then if they are put on a supervision order, which can be from a probation order, a suspended sentence supervision order, then you will automatically take responsibilities for those persons and you'll have them in your caseload.
Now, I understand the probation officers have responsibility for determining whether a release as part of the rehabilitation program of an inmate to the community.
As a probation officer, too, a part of your work involves making recommendations, and you do this primarily by doing a community check, we call it. What this means is that, for instance, the institution head will write to the probation officer in the parish that applicant is from, make the request saying, for instance, this inmate, for instance, has a desire to be released. These are the facts. You take it from there as a probation officer. You do the inquiries, community check, home check, all to ensure that if he can be allowed, then home is ready, community is ready to accept. Based on the findings, that recommendation is made. It's sent back to the superintendent of the institution, and then together all the various reports are collated and a decision taken.
And now, have you done these community checks yourself when you were a probation officer?
Oh, yes.
So, describe one in
particular, a routine.
Detail, what would
okay,
what would
the request is brought to your attention, and the first thing you do primarily is to go to the community. You speak with persons from the address given, family contact. You also speak randomly with persons of some kind of notary within the community to get a feel whether or not the community would be in agreement to have this person home, whether for a weekend release, whether on parole, whether just for a particular visit, whatever it is. The feedback then is reported on formally. You write a report to indicate your findings. And then that is sent back to the institution.
Is there any kind of typical response that you get? Is it usual that people are welcoming, or usual that people are...
Overall, I found that the community response is primarily positive. You know, what is interesting, I think as a people, we are virtually, regardless of what persons do, the level of crime they commit, I find deep rooted in all of that, Jamaicans are basically caring and forgiving. I find that so. And because I found that so, 80% of the requests made were favorable. You know, in cases where they weren't favorable, then we would say home is willing, community is not yet quite ready. We do one of two things. We work with significant persons in the community, especially if the person has no alternative home. But if there is alternative home, then certainly that's the next option taken. We would send that. Do find out if you have an auntie, a good friend who is responsible, mature, and willing to take on that kind of, certainly, initial responsibility. If the person is ready, that's what we do primarily.
Now, then you became the head of rehabilitation.
Yes.
And tell me what that job entails for you.
Primarily, you assist in identifying and making policy changes as it relates to the rehab regime. You have a staff, and you have responsibility for planning alongside your staff, coordinating, managing the whole rehabilitation process, which is very scientific in nature, and to ensure that the treatment programs, the plans, are in keeping with the mandate of the unit and the department by extent. So it's more managing, coordinating, planning role I carry out as director of rehab.
What is your reaction to this recent escape?
Almost frightening, because it actually threatened the whole rehabilitation regime, and especially when one looks at just how far we have gotten and how close we are to being perfect. It is a threatening situation, but not without control. I see some kind of positive in it, because it allows us now to tighten up certain procedures, which I think there's some element of we had somewhat relaxed because things were going so very well. We have now recognized that there are holes which we will now have to tighten or block, you know. You might be aware that this particular situation, the escape on Tuesday, is a simple case where procedure was not followed. It was just not followed. Because if procedure was followed, what happened would not have happened. There was no assessment done on the person. The record was not scrutinized. There was just... procedure was not even considered. It was not looked at all. It's just a situation where, and an isolated one, because when one thinks of the amount of successes and the number of persons who participate in external activities on a daily, on a weekly basis, and certainly over the recent years, this is a once-in-a-while situation, and it's very sad that at a time when the public in general, because that is one of our goals, to get a buy-in from the overall public, it's almost tragic, you know, that this happened. But we have had the matter discussed on call-in programs, and I was very enlightened. The response was tremendous. I mean, so positive. Persons were saying, yes, even though they have committed a crime, and real awful crimes, primarily they should be given the opportunity to go back into open society. Our minister's response was in keeping with his mandate, he is now put in place to make a difference, to arrest the crime and violence growth and the kind of threat it was having on public safety, which is quite human. His immediate response, stop it. Stop it, you know. But having now spoken with Commissioner, myself, and the deputy yesterday morning, because he had called an emergency meeting, he understands further, and he is fully behind. He's 100% supportive. He's made suggestions, you know. But to that situation, it's a single case. I'm very human. I mean, I personally hold no grudge against the happening, because it can only make us more aware, more alert.
How can that possibly happen?
Because the persons who man the system are human beings. Are you not going to find perfect
oversight by someone?
It's not an oversight. I have some reservations about that. I wouldn't describe it as an oversight, because everybody who works in the system should be aware that there is a procedure. And if the procedure was not followed, and certainly as a correctional officer, you would know the procedure. So if it was not followed, to me it's not just an oversight. For whatever the reason, and I cannot speak to the real reason because investigations are not yet complete, but whatever the findings, it's going to be addressed, you know, to ensure that it doesn't happen again.
Where was the prisoner from?
Tower Street.
And but where was his community? Where was his home? If he was going to run to home, where would he go?
I'm not sure where his home community is. But he escaped from a St. Andrew location, you know, from a private website. That's all I say on that matter, a private website. Now, as far as rehabilitation is concerned, there's no such thing as a private website, because there is a procedure. The rehab unit has clear procedures, step by step. Once a request is made for inmates to participate in any kind of project, there is a clear procedure. Step one, the request is made. The author of that request is interviewed by myself or a member of my unit to ensure that their motive is in keeping with ours, that it is legitimate and therefore authentic. Then we carry through the step of having a member of the rehab unit do the site check, we call it, to have clear knowledge, physical location, what the work is going to involve, and we carry out all these kinds of inquiries, get all the relevant information to make, and then we tie that up in what we describe as a project profile of that particular website, and all that is put in writing. Then having done that, if it is favorable, then we proceed now to inform Custodial Services Head, who is our Deputy Commissioner, and together we inform, as signatories, we inform the Superintendent. Nothing like that took place. Nothing. So as far as we are concerned, that's not an official work site. All right? So he should not even be there. Actually, you know. But then situations of these cases, you just do it as a kind of experience you gain wisdom from. That's it. You know.
So
unfortunate. And it's at this time when you're here to see what we're about and how things happen. You know, I know. By this time. One can never tell. One can never tell. But what you will realize from us, that's not going to threaten our process. It's not going to be threatened, because our successes far outdo a single or an isolated incident of this kind. The successes are just too great.
And yet it can be extremely dangerous with the public impression.
Yes, but as I said, amidst all this, because one of the questions posed on our on one of the talk shows yesterday was with the recent escape of such a dangerous person, a Category A criminal, how, what is your take on the continuation of the rehabilitation project? And the overwhelming response was, it is to continue. Because these are the persons who know how successful it is. These are the persons who believe that persons can change. And, you know, even as a probation officer, I would even go further and say even as a social worker, you have to believe, your conviction should be that if persons are given the right opportunities, they can change. And if you really and truly believe in that, it's natural that there's a tendency to understand, to believe, and to actually know too that regardless of a system, how perfect it is, once it involves human beings, there are going to be flaws. Because I really believe nobody's perfect, and I personally am convinced that even the worst of person, if the interventions are correct and meaningful, you can make a change. You actually can.
Can I take your picture?
Oh dear. Sure. Sure. I didn't know this was part of it. How could you even tell me?
That's all right. Fascinating.
You didn't tell me that. You know, it happened.
Yes,
yeah,
I didn't want you to know. When you get in, you
don't
get in.
I didn't know it was part of it. Oh, yeah. So, we're actually proud, though, of what we're doing. Very, very proud. You know, and the successes, as I said, are far, far greater than the isolated mishaps. We have a concern, though, as a department now, is when this person is captured, because he's going to be captured. Very, very few situations of this time go unsolved. When this person is captured, just how are we going to ensure his safety? Because the inmate population, apart from just feeling disappointed, they're going to be angry. So I'm actually in the process now of looking at just how to deal with a situation of that kind, how to appease the inmate population, because his escape means a temporary stoppage on the existing external programs, not the internal rehabilitation programs. You see, because we have programs that are external, means so much to the inmates, all right? And they know, and we have always preached as an organization and certainly as a rehab unit to every group that they must take responsibility for the opportunities, privileges that are offered, and that they are to be their brother's keeper. And that they also must be there for each other, you know, give support, not just do well up to the time of your leaving, and then conducting yourself in such a way when you're released that will threaten those who you have left behind. They know this. And the kind of behavior demonstrated now by this recent escapee is suggesting to them a real violation of that philosophy, you know.
Very wise of you to be worried about his safety.
Yes, but we are going to be meeting with them in groups right across, because even persons who were slated to go off on weekend release, that is unstopped. Now, just think of the inmate himself, who knew he would be offered this weekend, his family, every everyone is affected, you know, because he doesn't know when again his time is going to come, because the demand is so great that it's going to take a while. It's not just a putting off of 1 week or 2 weeks. Depends where you are. It has to be a fit. You know, we have very recently developed a national, a Department of Correctional Services National Rehab Strategy, which now seeks to tighten, confirm, cement the whole matter in a very common way, common language, as it relates to rehabilitation and the Department of Correctional Services. In that strategy, we have identified all stakeholders, not just the internal stakeholders, but the external. There is a place now for the recognition of the community alliances, our volunteers, our church, just name it, because they have been tremendous. The Reverend for Life program, for instance, is really making a difference to our rehabilitation regime, and which is primarily responsible for the kind of impact the public is having on the public, you know, headed by Mr. Green, who is the founder of that PASRAP program, you know, that PASRAP rehab program, because there are other rehab programs in the total package. Reverence for Life is one of the rehab programs. But, I mean, that program is primarily responsible for the kind of buy-in and support we are getting from the community. You know, cornerstone, but food for the poor especially is like our godfather, you know. And there are other, many other groups. Just recently I was updating our list on the participation of churches. And initially it was the kind of non-traditional churches, the Pentecostal churches and those kind of churches. Now Baptist churches and United churches. I mean, it is tremendous. We have a count of 68 churches, recognized churches now. 68! I'm not talking about individual persons now. Church groups, religious groups that are injured, and the demand for the participation of inmates in church activities. I cannot believe it. We have a problem of transportation. And even when we say no, we are not able to, they fall in and say, we will find transportation, you know, for concerts, because you'll find that primarily our inmate population have this strong leaning and interest in music, and the way they express themselves is awesome, just awesome. Dog poetry, writing, skits, all kinds of cultural things, dances, songs. I mean, you cannot, you know, and so much to say. I'm just jumping here and jumping there. But
which is your favorite group?
My favorite group. You know, I don't have a favorite group, because I find the inmate population right across all institutions is so common. You have a perfect mix. My favorite group. There was a time I thought Sons of God was the best, for instance, performing musical group at South Camp. And then when I began focusing on Divine Races at Tower Street, and when I went to St. Catherine and began going to more of their concerts, I said, no. I just stopped trying to say which one. To me, it's, yes. You know, for instance, last year we had our family day, and part of the family day activity, no, we had a musical concert, and it's somewhat customary for South Camp to be the winner. They really did not come from South Camp. And the audience went wild. It came from St. Catherine. And then over in Richmond Farm. when you hear their song groups perform, you wonder, you say, wait a minute, who helped them?
Yeah.
Who organized them? Mm-hmm. All done by themselves. And you realize the kinds of talents there and the potential of these persons. And you must come to the conclusion that they were not given the right kinds of opportunities or socialization. That's it. We have had a few persons who regret their release.
Yes, and we're happy to stay there.
They would want to stay, and we have to say no. You must leave. Now, when they go out, they find the probation officer. Some will actually say, if you don't send me back, then I'll commit myself. And we have to say, no, it cannot happen. And we have the probation officers work with them. As a probation officer, some years ago, I had this experience where this man was so institutionalized, but not in a negative way, because he was like, so very popular, he had grown to accept institution life. He was happy, contented. He saw the institution staff as his family. Mm-hmm. For a time, he was allowed to visit with his family members. He would always shorten his stay,
mm-hmm.
release for a weekend. He would be back the following day. He just was not comfortable sitting in. He actually felt better cared for within the institution. And when eventually he was released to go home, after about a week after his release, he came back to the office with his bag. And he said, Mrs. Stephen, I can't take it out here. So I said, you're not giving yourself a chance. And I spoke to him for over an hour, trying to get him what was it that was really. He said that he didn't feel accepted. So I said, all right, allow me again to speak with your family members. When I spoke with them, they said that they just could not understand him. He had spent about 17 years, and there obviously was not just a generation gap, because he was now seeing in the home persons who he didn't know before. Lifestyles were different, and they... younger persons in the family showed no kind of bonding and the kind of interest that he appreciated, yes. You know, and in spite of the efforts to have him adjust and to get family members to understand why he behaves that way and so on, it just didn't work. And I had to write back to the Governor General on the matter. And he was saying, but he's actually threatened us. He almost threatened. He said, Miss Stevens, you cannot say, me never warn you, you know, I want to go back. Make me dead there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was taken back. Yes. He went back and he died there. And he was buried on our grounds.
You're in trouble when prisons get to be a place that people want to be.
Big trouble.
Yes.
Big trouble. But, it's the kind of trouble that you prefer to the other kind of trouble,
mm-hmm.
the other kind, mm-hmm. yes. But it simply means, not, though, on a serious basis, that we have to be very aware of this so that people do not, they are made ready. You start the winning process on time so that they can actually, and that is where the hostel program, which is this halfway house, comes in, opportunity for them now to reintegrate slowly by going home for weekend so they can adjust and understand the outside the community, giving them the opportunity to work so they can learn budgeting, managing, socializing, mix, so that when eventually they are ready for release, they can fit
right.
easier into open society.
Well,
you know.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to someone who obviously loves
is
their job.
All? Come on, you need to talk some more. But at another time, I'm sure.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes,
okay. Thank you for being
pleasure.
Here with us. My pleasure also. See you all tomorrow.
That's
no, tonight.
That's where they are okay?
No, they're not back in. They're not back in. Is there anybody else? We were expecting Dr. Levitt. He cannot be reached. No.
Okay,
so neither
Mrs.
Singh. I'm
eager to get to the quarterly and meet.
Yes.
Could come
but
in.
I suppose
before
this,
I think it's the
yeah.
Let us just go upstairs and let's check the documentation.
Okay.
Okay.
That is,
is there, I mean, literally, Sonia would have primary most, but if you find any gaps or lapse between, to speak with me, all right?
Because this is our first part, isn't it?
Okay. See you all later, dinner.
All right.
Thanks.
Of
you again.
I think
probably.
Do you want to have lunch or?
Let me just call Sonia and let her know.
Yes, and then when we go out, we can. I know where to find her, but what about Luke?
I got.
Yes, can.
She's wonderful.